Chapter 8. In the Land of the Dragon Slayer. George is the name of a distinguished hero, commonly known as Saint George. If we were making a series of little journeys to the homes of great heroes, we should want to visit the place where this man lived, for he is known as the Great Dragon Slayer. Peter made a journey to his home, but Peter got there first. This chapter has something about Peter the Dragon Slayer and a good woman. Saint George was a brave man, and so was Peter. Soon after Philip's preaching in Samaria, Peter went there on a visit, as we read in the last chapter, and a very important incident happened. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. For from many of those that had unclean spirits, they came out, crying with a loud voice, and many that were palsied and that were lame were healed, and there was much joy in that city. But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is that power of God which is called great." And they gave heed to him, because that of long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip. And beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. Now when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "Thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered and said, "Pray ye for me to the Lord, that none of the things which ye have spoken come upon me." They, therefore, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. It was not in Samaria that the dragon slayer lived. That belongs to another of Peter's adventures. Peter had become a very courageous man. He preached in Jerusalem and he journeyed up and down through nearby cities, always preaching and doing good. On one of these journeys through the plain of Sharon towards the great sea, he came to the town of Lydda. Lydda is an interesting old town and still bears the ancient name of Lud. All boys are interested in Lydda, for it was there that St. George is said to have lived. St. George lived in Lydda about 300 years after Christ and is said to have suffered martyrdom in 303. He became very famous as an officer under the Roman Emperor Diocletian. It was he who was said to have killed the dragon. In the time of the Crusades, the English soldiers adopted him as their patron saint. The perpendicular red cross on the flag of England is the cross of St. George, and the gold coins of Great Britain bear a picture of him, mounted on a spirited horse and killing a dragon with a spear. Whether this really happened or not, we need not consider. But it is a very old story which has interested the boys of England and other countries for many hundreds of years. And Lydda was where this good and brave man lived, for we are sure that he was good and brave. In Lydda, nearly 300 years before St. George, lived a man named Aeneas. He had been sick for 8 years, and Peter healed him. So the people of that city were very greatly interested in the story Peter had to tell them of Jesus. It was while Peter was in Lydda that news came to him from Joppa, which is only a few miles away on the shore of the sea, that a good woman was sick, and the friends sent to Lydda for Peter. This is the story of that event as the Bible tells it. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did, and it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, "Delay not to come unto us." And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he abode many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. We have only this little glimpse into the life of Dorcas. We read her past life in the grief for her death, in the lamentations of the poor, and in the sight of the garment she had made for them. But this little glimpse, we may be sure, affords a true estimate of her character. It has made her name immortal and has written it at the head of that long roll of Christian women whose deeds of Christian love have blessed the world. 1,000 societies of good women, or perhaps 10,000 or more, have named themselves Dorcas societies because they seek to do such work as she did. As we read the books of Acts and the epistles, we are impressed with the number of good women who are mentioned in the history of early Christianity. There are those who accompanied Jesus in his journeys and ministered to him of their substance. Of such womanhood as this was written, "Not she with traitorous kiss the Savior stung, not she denied him with unholy tongue. She, when apostle shrank, could danger brave, last at the cross and earliest at the grave." As we read the story of apostolic Christianity, the number multiplies. We are to read of Lydia, whose gentle hand opened the door of Europe to the preaching of the gospel, of Phoebe, who carried the message of Paul to Rome, of Priscilla and Aquila, who labored with Paul making tents and who had a church in their house, and of a multitude of faithful women who labored with the men of brave hearts and planted the gospel in the earth. Let us call the roll of some of the noble women of the Bible and remind ourselves who they were. There are Rebecca and Miriam and Rahab and Ruth and Hannah and Esther. There are the Queen of Sheba and the Shunammite woman, who is the only woman the Bible speaks of as great, and Jael and Deborah. What a list they make of mighty womanhood. There are Elizabeth, the mother of John, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Anna, the prophetess, and the woman of Samaria, and the Bethany sisters, Mary and Martha, and the women at the cross, and the women who told the story of the resurrection. And these are not all. Let us thank God for brave men and for true good women. The world needs them both. It was the hand of a good woman, Bertha, the wife of King Ethelbert, who opened the door of England to the gospel in 597. It was Bertha's daughter who, married to the King of Northumberland, Edwin, then the most powerful ruler in England, who more than any other one person made the religion of Jesus the religion of the Anglo-Saxon world. 1,000 times in the history of the Christian church, good women have performed deeds which men could not have done, and those who themselves did nothing which the world saw or knew taught their children and grandchildren as Eunice and Lois taught Timothy. And so the work of the Lord went on. Let us thank God for all good women, and let us remember the fine old poem in the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her bread from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth food to her household. And their task to her maidens she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and maketh strong her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen garments, and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laugheth at the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, saying, Many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. Grace is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. We have need of brave men to fight the dragons of evil, as St. George is said to have done, and we need good women to do such deeds as Dorcas did.